So this morning, we're going to get into 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. You see why I said that this video was going to be... As a guy, you look at that video and it's very difficult to watch. Because as a man, as a father, that hits you right between the eyes as a guy. And watching the entire video, the entire movie, it's called Courageous. And it's about four men in law enforcement and another man that would come alongside them and just go through the struggles of life of what it meant and what kind of things that guys go through in order to be a good father and a good follower of Christ and how those two really... kind of clash. And so as we're getting into the Word, let's get into 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want to... The mindset here is this. Right along here, today, we're going to have young people get up and say, the faith that God had bestowed in my baptism is the best. The faith I want to say right here, right now, I want to take off. I want that to overshadow everything else in my life. And so the problem being is that there are so many things that are tugging at our young people today, and this video kind of goes alongside of it. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is Paul writing to a young pastor named Timothy. He just says this, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me and the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. And so this morning, we kind of want to get into this. Listen to these verbs. These verbs are very right here, right now, right between the eyes. Guard the good deposit. Follow the teachings. And so we ask, what more can we ask of our young people? To take what you've learned from this point and to say, what else in your life, where else is God leading you? And then the question, second question I usually ask on this day is, who's willing to help lead? Who's willing to help lead? Do young people know everything? Do young people know everything? They think they do. I'm sure that's not right at all. Not right. Do you remember when you were that age? Or are we really getting honest with ourselves? What I wouldn't give to spend one more day of that age, right? To erase all the stupid stuff I was about to do. At the same time, who is in their lives to help mold, to help guide? I just want to ask you about this, is when we think about authority, That can be something that's a good word or a word that you kind of like, I don't like authority in my life. I'm still kind of this one where God, don't press me. But think about authority in our lives. Who has God put in authority over you and in this nation? And I would just want to go over let's think about authority. Authority figures. Can we honestly say over the last couple years that law enforcement hasn't taken a hit? That when you think of a police officer, maybe in here we could say they're positive, unless last night you got pulled over for a taillight that's out. And then you're like scared to death and then you can't stand to have them around, right? There is that good and bad thing going on in your mind. But all across this nation, there is a fear of anyone in law enforcement. And if you look at the numbers in all the police academies, The number of applicants, the guys going into to be a police officer, is way down. Way down. What do you think is going to happen in the next 10 years when we have half as many police officers out in our cities protecting us, confronting evil? What's going to happen in our society? Okay, here's another one. What about pastors? I kind of like to talk about this. When I was at seminary, back in the good old days, you remember those days? Wink, wink, right? The good old days, back 20 years ago, when I came in, there's 120 guys in our class at the one seminary. 120 just at our seminary. This year alone, both seminaries will produce less than 100 guys. Less than 100. All right, so you take a look at what that really means. Do you think faith is important to the daily lives of most people in America? 15% of all Americans are in church on Sunday. 15%. 15%. In Europe, it's less than 5. Europe's less. In Europe, there's more. Generally, there's more visitors over to the big cathedrals on a Sunday morning than there are people from that community. There's more visitors, more people from America visiting. And so the question of, we're following that pattern. We're following that pattern. So what will it mean when there's only 5% of the people, the population in America, in churches today? When is that? You take out, I want to say you take out the law enforcement, and take out the gospel, the pastors. You don't have any law or gospel in the community. But it's you take out those authorities, and then the third one. You take out the third one. Can we really say that in America our families are where they should be or where they could be? That families as a whole. I mean, we tend to sit around and drink coffee and talk about what is really going wrong in our society. Can we really not bring it back to God being outside of our families? And so I begin to wonder, as I got a little guy myself, and I really wonder what he's going to grow up to be. And so I really struggled. The video that was played that we're noticing clear across this country, the one thing that is missing that would help out is a male influence in people's lives. And so I just begin to wonder. I begin to wonder, what about the future? Because there is a future both in my son's life, there is a future in this community, there's a future in this country. And so who is our focus? Well, in this congregation, let me say this. We're not going to get this one wrong. That right there is our focus. That through anything that's going to happen over the next 50 years or whatever else in my life, that our focus is going to remain on Christ and Him alone. And that's it. What Christ said and did is the focus of everything that we do in this congregation. And so I asked myself, where was Jesus? What did He teach? What did He leave? And so that is the focus. And so what is important? What is important? I don't have you guys figured out yet. I don't have you guys figured out. Do you realize that Minnesota is weird? I mean, take out the whole casserole thing and all the other nuances that y'all have. I'm talking to my wife, and we're both northerners. Not as northern that you guys are, but we're both northerners, and it's interesting is that y'all have a culture that is very different and very interesting. Is we're talking with our staff about when can we preach a sermon about the importance of male figures in people's lives. And they said, well, don't do it next week. Well, what's next week? Do you notice all the women who piped up on that one? Ladies, we'll see. Bring down the volume. Let's let the guys answer. Guys, what is next Sunday? Do you notice there's a discrepancy with the guys about what next week is? Next week, the governor will be in town. Why? Because he wants to celebrate with his mother. I was holding this sermon till next week, and they told me, don't do it next week. I said, well, what about Father's Day? What about Father's Day? Outside Minnesota, Mother's Day is the second highest attendance of the entire year. In Minnesota, for some reason, the attendance is half as what it should be. And so you just kind of say, okay, so in Minnesota, men want to honor their wives and mothers by getting out of the house so as not to upset them. And so they spend a lot of time out by themselves on the lake. Is this most certainly true? Okay, I just want to make sure. Follow my tracking here. Because my heart is to connect with other guys my age. Especially my age. To ask them what's going on and try to keep up. And so next week, the attendance will drop because of fishing. And then in the summer in Minnesota, the attendance will drop because people are at their cabins. And then maybe finally for a couple months, maybe 2 months, 3 months out of the year, there is smaller things that are going on until fall season, and then y'all go hunting. And then it freezes for six more months of the year. And then on the weekend, y'all want to get out and have these little semi-submersible things that stand on water that's been frozen over time, and you drill a hole or several and drop a line down, and you still go fishing. Congregation, when can I speak to the heart of the man? Because there's so much that is pulling and tugging away from faith, of being in this community. And there's so many things that are tugging a man to be outside the home and outside the church. And so the question I really need to figure out here in Minnesota is, what is it that is really getting in the way of our faith going and exploding? So the question is, what is important? Is a walleye really that important? Stop before you shake your head. I really understand. But is fishing really that important? When you go to heaven, will you really spend your time fishing? Now, just be careful. Will we really be going hunting in heaven? Will you really go hunting? Will you really go hunting? So the question is, what is important? Because where things are important in our lives, we put our time into that. Will you see your grandchildren in heaven? Because heaven is eternal. It's forever. Fishing, it goes away. It's a season. It's going in. What is important? Because that's where we put our time. And so one of the things is it wrong to go fishing? No, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is, as guys, we tend to go alone together out in the woods, and we spread out, and we're alone way too many of the times. And so as a man, that's dangerous. As a man, that's dangerous to be totally alone. And really, there's an opportunity. You can go fishing, take somebody else along. You want to go hunt and take somebody else's life. Invest in our time, because investing in our time, that is what is important in our lives, because we want to imprint on somebody. Did you hear in the scripture reading? He said, guard the deposit. Guard the deposit. What you've heard from me, continue on. My investment. I'm about to ask these kids one question. Really, their parents. They spent 2 years, enduring my teaching, 2 years. And so if I took $10,000 into a bank, what kind of interest rate would you want? 0%? Anybody for 0%? How about 6%? Can we get 6%? Not one bit. Folks, when we put kids through confirmation, and when we only say, after confirmation, you're totally done, and we look at these parents and say, you spent 2 years of time, gas money, to get these kids through confirmation, and after confirmation, they are going to fall through the cracks, and 70 to 80% won't be in church probably next year. I mean, we looked at just last year's figures from last year's confirmation class. 70 to 80% gone as soon as you confirm them. So banking-wise, would we really invest? And they're saying, we need to invest at a higher interest rate. We need to go to a bank that gives us a higher interest rate. And so we need to do better investments. Better investments. And so... 2 Timothy 1, 5-6, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. Did you notice? Do you notice who was in the influence in a young pastor's life? Number one, his grandmother. Number two, his mother. Who's missing? Ladies, don't tune me out totally, but let me speak to the men in here. Guys, our job's not done. Whether you're still a father, whether you've never been a father, if God has made you and said, you're important, which for every male in this room, I'm not saying it, every male in this room, God has called you to something that is important. And so guys, every one of you, I want to say, wherever you are in your life, you can say, I'm retired. Show me anywhere in Scripture where it says anything about retiring from your faith. Because there is still one young person in this congregation. There are still a couple in our congregation. Guys, he ain't done yet. He ain't done yet. Who's going to guide this little guy? Who's going to come alongside him? Because he's going to get overwhelmed. Twins, that's hard enough. Number one, as a father, if you're anything like me, you're going to struggle because I have no clue what I'm doing. I am going through life, and at the end of the day, I am wondering, did I mess up my child today? Or did I possibly convey to him the importance of who God is? And most days I'm going to say, you know what, I was just terrible. On the other hand, isn't that what being a male is like? Is seeing, you know what, I need to refocus. I need to re-guard the deposit in my life. Because if I really understand who Christ is, then therefore it means that I'm not perfect. And then I need to show them, okay, I'm not going to be perfect for you, but I know who one who is. And there's anything I do in my life, I want to point you to this guy. I want you to follow him. Because there will be a day in your life in which you will see him for all that he is, and you get to bow down in his presence with millions of other believers and sing the amazing hymns to him about how great he is. And he's not there yet. And gentlemen, you're not there yet. I need your help. And so I begin to want to say, as we go and look and talk about this journey here, we talk about Sunday mornings. Servant leaders, ladies, you serve amazingly. You serve amazingly. The problem is, where you serve, guys will tend to draw back and just let you serve. Wink, wink, right? Where we fail, you guys will plug in. Problem is, man, it's time to lead again. And we lead by serving first. You know what? If that means every woman in this room right here gets to take a Sunday off, so be it. We want to serve. And while we're doing it, it was awesome. Your daughter, when she was coming up for the offering, brought her son up and said, I'm going to teach you what's going on. She invested in the lives of her son and just brought him along. Can we do this as a congregation? That as we are going along, pick up somebody who is young and say, I just want to teach you how to be an elder right now, because you'd make a really good elder right now. You just need a little bit of tweaking here and there. And so herein lies this concept of mentoring. Walking along someone younger to invest in them, because we want that good deposit that's the cross to be in their life too. There's a lot of young men who need this, who desperately need this. So our job isn't done yet. Y'all's job isn't done yet. My job is not done yet. And so I want to talk about this better community. All across America, our communities are falling apart. Now, we can go off and say, well, that's because of this and this. He needs to be at the center of every family. He needs to be at the center of every family. So I'm asking you, what more does a family need other than a center on Christ and Christ alone? And from there on, we can go and diverge into all different kinds of families. That needs to be the center. And so to do that, this world needs Jesus, and it needs a Savior to be proclaimed both side by side. And hey, I just wanted to let you know that Christ is walking with you through this. So if there's ever something that I try to convey to you guys, to men here today, y'all aren't done yet. Do you realize that throughout Scripture, Moses, Abraham, all these men of the Bible, they didn't start their ministries till they were well beyond retirement age? What does that mean about the same Christ who was with them to give them strength, the same Christ that is with you, so that you can mentor the next generation? Because our job's not done yet. Our job's not done yet. Keep on with the teachings. Keep on with the mentoring. Keep on so that the next generation can guard a deposit. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we want to be in Christ and Him alone. Lord God, as someone who has been called as a man of God, Lord God, I'm going to fail so much in my life. And as a guy, that's difficult to do, because if I fail, Lord God, I don't see the value in things. I tend to give up on myself. I give up on those you put in my life. Lord God, we pray for these men in this room right here, right now. That, Lord God, they may see that they are valuable, both in the lives of the young men in this room, but also in the lives of men in this community. Lord God, help us to see that, Lord God, we are not done yet as a congregation. We are not done yet letting you transform this church and this community by the power of your name. Lord God, help us have fun doing that. Have fun and seeing lives transformed by your story. Lord God, help us each and every day to live that out. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.